welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
We've been doing a series called, an open door in 2024. It's the last week of that, but I just want to talk to you a little bit today about being equipped. I want to equip you for more in 2024. If we had to make it rhyme, you know, it's good. I can rhyme all the time. It's just what I do for me and you. You know what I mean? So, we gotta be equipped to do life, don't we? Have any of you been born? Okay? Anybody? Come on, show of hands. Has anybody in here been born? Some of you weren't born? Come on, put your hand. I wanna see every. Come on, everybody put your hand up. Say, I have been born. Okay, all right. Then what happened after that? Did your parents teach you anything? It's like, no, not there, over here by the toilet. Right? Then we go to school for like, what, 13 years to get out of high school if you count kindergarten. You know, when I was in kindergarten, we had the little, I know we have a few teachers in the house. When I was in kindergarten, I was so in love with Miss McEwen, you know, and she, it's the 70s, she had the little short mini skirts, you know, and all that, and I'm just a little kid, and she was the sweetest thing ever. You know, I reconnected with her on Facebook or something a while back, and she's like, you're the little Kevin, you know, and I was the aerator in the play in our school and all of that, but we had those little blow-up alphabet letters, man. Who all remembers those, the inflatable ones, and they were stuck all the way around the room, and you're trying to get equipped to speak English, you know, you're learning all of the letters and how to do it. And then you went to school for 13 years all the way through high school. And for me, it was really more like 11 years because of the days that I skipped and missed, you know, and the times that I didn't make it to class, but they passed me anyway because they didn't want to endure me for another year. Okay. So I went through, and then I realized, you know what, you need to go to college too. So I went to college, flunked out of that. And then, decided later after I'd given my life to Jesus that I really did need to go to college, and I was a, go figure, I was a straight A student in college, right? I actually got all A's when I could focus, when I was done with the whole party scene and all the things that were distracting me. I became equipped, and I began to learn and apply myself, and then I even learned trade skills and different things like that. We learned jobs. How many guys have learned a job or a trade in your life, right? And we see that. So we spend our lives being equipped for life and for careers. So why would we think that we wouldn't spend our lives being equipped to do the work of God? As a believer, that's part of what God has called us to do. We need to be equipped with knowledge. We need to be equipped with understanding of the way things work. And we need to have skills, and we need to have training in ministry. And I looked at my life, and I'm like, man, I'm equipped to do a lot of things. How many of you guys realize I'm equipped to do a lot of things? Do you know I have 23 surfboards? I am equipped to surf, okay? I can get it done out there in the water, double overhead, no problem, as long as I can paddle out. You know, you ever been like, you're paddling out, and you're duck diving, the white water's getting about this high, you know, and you're just like, but you finally get out there, and it takes you 10 minutes to recover, you know, to get your wind back so that you can actually ride them. But I can do that. I can use tools. I can remodel things. I've been equipped to do these things. I can teach and share things and do stuff that way. Here's one of my greatest skills in life, okay? I can tell you where the best restaurants to eat are. No joke. You think I'm kidding. But I can tell you where the best restaurants are. And one of them's Longhorn, right? All my Longhorn peeps. But you know that when we were younger, right, as a family and the kids were all still sleeping in booths in restaurants at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night when we would go get dinner, we would get calls from everybody from church. They'd be like, where's the kids' meals for free tonight? Because we had it all dialed in. We're like, you go here on Monday, here on Tuesday. You go over here, Piccadilly on Sunday, get some soft food back in the day, right? They always have soft food at Piccadilly. Did you ever notice that? No? They were catering to a demographic. But, you know, so I have a few talents, but there are so many talented people in the world, aren't there? We've got, you know, my life was saved by doctors who were equipped with medical training, and they helped me 5 years ago. My pancreas exploded in my body, and they said, you're a goner, you should be dead, and here I am, because God's a miracle worker, right? And he gets the glory. But, you know, doctors save people. I'm one of them. Okay, then there's teachers. They teach people. How many guys know that there's a need for that? That we need people to teach. We need construction people to build things. Has anybody ever built anything? A couple of you. Has anybody ever had anything built? Okay, how about mechanics? Is anybody glad there's mechanics in the world? That when your car breaks, there's somebody you take it to? Now, we don't... Thank God there's bankers to give us money out of our savings account if we have it to pay the mechanic. You know, but as we go through that, I've looked at so many different things, like even retail. People sell things like clothing. Thank God that I have been able to get clothing. It'd be very distracting if I was up here with no clothing on right now. So many areas I could go on and on and on, but we don't need to do that. But there's so many different directions that we can pursue in our lives, and I want you to know it's no different in the kingdom. There are so many different areas that you can pursue in your life of God, and you can go and you can be whoever it is that God is calling you to be. So today, I want to talk about how you can be equipped for more in 2024, that you can be who God is calling you to be in your life. Because there's more to this life than just, you know, the daily grind and going and making enough money to get the bills paid, or even making a lot of money and being able to retire. And there is no retirement in the kingdom of God, folks. We're supposed to be out there preaching the gospel till we stop breathing, and then we get to go hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the plan, at least for me. So how many of you guys remember that age-old question? What do you want to be when you grow up? Some of you are already grown up, okay? So it's too late to ask you that question again. But some of you younger folks, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mine wasn't pastor. It wasn't. I wanted to be a surfing pro, heavy metal, rock star millionaire. I think that was my resume. What was yours, you know? Who wanted to be a fireman? Any firemen? Who wanted to be a doctor? Who wanted to be a lawyer? Who wanted to be a ballerina? A couple of you, right? Yeah, dancer or anything like that, right? So we all had something there, but mine wasn't pastor. But see, I found my purpose when I found Christ. See, I had all these dreams and visions of who I was going to be and what I was going to do and where I was going to go and all the things I was going to accomplish, but I never included God in any of that. So then when I found Jesus in my life, I had to backtrack. And I had to go, all right, God, what do you want me to do? Then I had to begin to equip myself to be who God was calling me to be instead of my own version of who I wanted to be. Now, some of those intermingle, and I'm not saying everybody's on the wrong track if they're trying to study and become something, and they're trying to train and find that, but the bottom line is that each of us have special gifts and special abilities that have been given to us by God for the working of what? The ministry, for the purpose of God's kingdom coming together and advancing forward and taking ground from the devil. Because the enemy has tried to use your, you know that he used my talents against me to try to destroy me. He's like, oh, you have a gift to sing. You want to be a rock musician? I'll make you a rock musician. Let me take your gift and use it for my kingdom, and you can actually see what destruction looks like in your life. He said, oh, you're super charismatic. You're easy to get along with. Let me make you a drug dealer so that you can actually infiltrate everybody else's life with your charisma and pump drugs into the world. And then Jesus saved me. But he used, the devil tried to use my gifts against me. So you've got to understand who you are, what your gifts are, what your talents and abilities are, so that you can begin to cultivate them for the kingdom. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. But see, here's how it works. We are the body of Christ. Has anybody ever heard that statement? You're the body of Christ, right? So how does that work? I want to share that with you today. I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 31, and it says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So you are a member of the body of Christ, but you're not a, you know, we're all part of a body. We're all each an individual member. Does that make sense? So if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is there therefore not a body? Are they not of the body? No. But if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye and I'm not of the body, are they not of the body? No, they're still a part of it. The whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? Now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So what is your purpose in the body of Christ? You got to go ask him, because he's going to place you where he pleases, where he created you to thrive and exist in the body of Christ. But each one of us has a purpose. We're all in the body. You know, maybe you're a pinky toe. I don't want to lose mine right now, do you? Because if I do, then my whole body is going to feel it. Then I'm not going to be the same with that piece missing. You see, the biggest problem that we have in the body of Christ is that we get someone injured or somebody out of place in the body, and we want to cut them out. We want to push them away. We want to shove them to the side or tell them to get lost when they're part of the body. And we can't live without them. It says so in Scripture. Now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. If the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. What part are you? Do you feel like you're a weaker part of the body? You're necessary. Do you feel like you don't exist in the body? You do exist, and there is a purpose for you in the body of Christ. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have great modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. This is where we miss it. We're too busy trying to be our own part that we're forgetting that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. We're part of the body of Christ. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. See, we've been selfish as the church. We haven't suffered with each other. We've shoved each other to the side. We've pushed each other over. Even here, I'm trying to be real. And we haven't been the best that we can be, but we're going to try to move forward and be better. It's all we can do. Just learn from our mistakes. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles, prophets, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So the bottom line is that we don't all do the exact same things. We're not all apostles, prophets, or healers or any of that, but we're all part of the body, so that the healing part of the body can't function without the administrative part. And some of us are given to do the works of the ministry, and others are called to support the works of the ministry. It's all of us coming together as the body of Christ that makes us who we are as the church. Each member of the body of Christ is indispensable. Not one of you can we live without. Do you hear what I'm saying? We can't live without you. You know, I think the enemy's trying to keep us from being complete in Christ by distracting us from the purpose of the church. It's to minister to each other. It's to be an expression to the world of who Jesus really is. Each part must be willing to perform its own function and not seek to function in a role that we weren't made to do. You see, a lot of us are trying to be, you know, someone we're not, when we really just need to be who we were created to be. And as we all come together in those gifts, we've somehow placed some importance on this position or that position, when really every position is important in the church. Each one of us is interdependent. That means that every part of the body of Christ relies on the proper functioning of the other part. You guys have got to come together and be who you're called to be, or we can't be who God's calling us to be as a church. It'll never happen. What does that mean? It means you guys got to step up. You got to go, here's what I'm supposed to do. Here's where I'm supposed to be. This is what God's calling me to do in his kingdom. Does that make sense? We need each other to step into our roles, into our parts in the body of Christ, because each one of us is connected through the one Spirit. That's how we can say if one suffers, all suffer. If one rejoices or is honored, all rejoice and are honored. That's back in verse 26. We have ties. We're tied together in Christ. We're his church. The biggest problem the church has is we can't seem to figure out this unity thing. How we can all work together and function together as one. Even all the other churches need to learn how to function together as one. Oh, well, we go over here. Well, we go over there. We can't work with you because you don't do it the way we do it over here. We're never going to win the world divided. We are one kingdom, one body, one church in many denominations, in many forms, but if we don't get our act together and start working together as a team, the enemy's going to run us over. Amen. You guys agree? But it's got to start with us. We can't sit here and go, oh yeah, them over there, they don't do it right. Well, till we're doing it right, we don't have any room to judge. So we're going to do it right. We're going to do it right. We're going to get equipped. We're going to do it right. What does that mean? It means that you can't be blind to what's happening, you know, in my life, and I can't be blind to what's happening in your life. We're going to have to become a family, a church. We're going to have to pull together and do life as a team. We must be equipped for ministry. Say equipped. Elbow your sleeping neighbor and say equipped. And forget, I can see you up here. I'm not calling you out, though. Hebrews 13:21. You know, well, here, let me say this. We can't operate ministry without being equipped, right? And how does that happen? It happens in classes. It happens on Thursday nights. It happens on men's group. It happens. You've got to become part of the body if you want to be the body of Christ. That means you got to come here. You got to be here. You can't just sit here on Sunday and pop in, pop out over and over again and think you're going to ever accomplish anything for the Lord. You got to plug in. You got to get involved. You got to be a part of the church. And we've got plenty to do around here, plenty for you to get involved in. But you've got to avail yourself to that. In 2024, you've got to get equipped. If you want to get equipped, get here on Thursdays first, then get a men's group, women's group on Wednesdays. It's a great first step getting equipped. Hebrews 13:21, make you complete in every good work to do his will. What's the goal? My goal for us. For this church is to make you complete in every good work to do his will. Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory. So God, Christ in you is the hope of God getting glory in the world. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the bottom line is this: what is God calling you to do? Some of you are like, I have no clue, Pastor. I don't know. What is God calling me to do? I can't tell you. I can't tell you that. You've got to figure that out for yourself. You've got to avail yourself to that. You've got to plug in. You've got to figure all that out. You know, I've seen so many people pushed down in their ministry by pastors and leaders. And I just want you to know that I'm not going to do that. I'm challenging you. Step up to the plate right now. Get involved around here, okay? Because I'm not afraid of you. You laugh. Pastors are afraid of people. Well, what if they rise up above me? What if they take half the church and go down the road? Go ahead. We're out of chairs. We'll fill them again. If you're called to do that, and my job is to equip you for the working of the ministry, who am I to think that I got to push you down so that you don't take half this church and go down the street and start another church? Go do it. I assure you, you'll look just like me. Go get it. I'm not afraid of you. I'll help you. I'll equip you to run past me. I'm okay with it. I didn't want the job anyway. I told the Lord, no, I don't want it. No, he's like, you're doing it. I was like, I am a missionary. He's like, yeah, you are. So I'm going to the world. I have my own organization. This and that. No, no, you're going to run this church. I'm like, no, I'm going to the world. No, you're going to run this church. No, you don't understand, man. I have this figured out. I'm going over there. No, no, you're staying here. You know what I mean? So we've got to begin to unleash the freedom that there is in Christ here as a church. Follow me as I follow the Lord. Jesus said, follow me. So I'm following him. Now I'm saying to you, follow me. And then eventually, you know what? You may go past, you may run, you may find your calling, and it may be glorious and grand. And you know what? I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to rejoice with you.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for Discipleship Encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided.
Are you 18 to 29 years old? If so, Launch Young Adult Ministries is the place you want to be. We meet every Sunday night at 6:30 in the Double Bubble at Lighthouse Christian Church, 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's fun and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you to where God wants you to be. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website, ourlighthouse.net, or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministries. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful.
Yes, I am. Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.